Today we want to study some aspects of Parshas Dvarim from the perspective of the Ramban, and we're going to use the Sefer Sam Derech, and hopefully you have those pages. Let's begin with Perek Aleph in Sefer Dvarim, Pasuk Yud Beis. The Torah says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eicha esolav adi, tarchachem umasachem virivchem. The Ramban is sensitive to the use of these three terms, and the Ramban says the following, that what these three terms mean, v'tam tarchachem umasachem virivchem, al derech hapshat. He says the plain meaning of these words are the following. Moshe Rabbeinu was alluding to the fact, when he spoke to Klal Yisrael, that there are three things that he told Yisrael. And these are three things that he did on a regular basis for the people of Israel. And Moshe mentions them, beremez, by allusion. The first is tarchachem. Says the Ramban, tarchachem means that I taught you the statutes of the Torah. Why is that called Tarchachem? Why is it such a burden, so to speak, on Moshe Rabbeinu to teach Torah? Says Ramban, because L'lamed L'yotze Mitzrayim, in the teaching of Torah, would be of great trouble, because he was teaching those who left Mitzrayim. They were avodim in Mitzrayim, and they had no background. It's like teaching Bali Tshuva who just became religious. And it would be quite a task to bring them up to the level to understand Torah. So that's called Tarchachem. And then the Ramban says, Umasachem, what is Maso referred to? Says the Ramban, the word Masa is Keneged Lidro Shelokim, which the Ramban identifies as Inyan Tefillah. In other words, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is that I had the Masa, that burden, that responsibility of Lidro Shelokim. Lidro Shelokim is what Moshe had told, had explained to Yisro why are you so busy from dawn until midnight? And he said, because the people come Lidro Shelokim, they ask me to pray on behalf of themselves, on behalf of their families. And this is the word Masa. The Ramban says, how do I know that Masa is a language of Tefillah? And for that, he quotes a pasuk in Tanakh, in Sefer Melachim. There it says, V'nasasa Tefillah, which means you offer a prayer. And he quotes another pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu says, V'altisa ba'adam rina utfila. Again, the word tisa, which refers to a cry, to a prayer. Then the Ramban says, last but not least, what Moshe had told Yisro he was busy with was rivchem. Rivchem is a riv. It's a quarrel. It's a controversy. It refers simply to matters of judgment in disputes between parties. So Moshe Rabbeinu is preoccupied in the Midbar with three different responsibilities. The first of the responsibilities is teaching Torah. The second is prayer. And the third is judgment. And the question that we want to raise is, with regard to the second responsibility of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning Masa, which the Ramban proves that the word Masa means Tefillah, Masa means an ol. Ayin Vav Lamed means a heavy weight on one's shoulders. And this is very strange, that Moshe Rabbeinu, in describing his role as the leader of Israel praying on behalf of the people, would use a word that indicates such a heavy weight on his shoulders. I mean, after all, that sounds antithetical to everything that Moshe represents. Moshe is the one who says in Sefer Shmos, in Perek Yud Zayin, Ma Eselam Azeh Od Mat Uskoluni. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki Tomer Eilai Sa'eu B'chaykecha Kasher Yisa Ha'uma Nesayonek. Moshe Rabbeinu compares himself to a nursing father, and he uses the word Yisa. If Moshe Rabbeinu's love for his people is that of a loving father, why does he view tefillah as a masa, as a heavy weight placed on his shoulders? Rashi in Parshas Baal Loscha, with regard to the pasuk Kaser Yisa Ha'omen Es Hayonik, Rashi says, Ki tomar elai, sha'ata omer elai sa'eu b'chaykecha. God, you have asked me to be a leader, but also a father to the people of Israel. Heichan Amar lo kein, asks Rashi, and he quotes the pasuk in Shmos Lamed Beis, Leich mecheyes ha'am hazeh, and the pasuk in Shmos Vav, Vaitzavem el b'nei Yisrael, Almanas shiusot l'meschem, u'machrifim l'meschem. Moshe's love for the people is going to be extended to such a point where Moshe is willing to be Moser Nefesh for the people. And this he accepted upon himself. So why then does he relate to tefillah as a masa? And I'd like to offer one answer, and then we'll see the answer that you have on your page. And what I want to suggest is based on the Rav's understanding of what we call Kivras HaTava. You remember that the people of Israel in the desert desired meat. Chazal say that that was an allusion to other kinds of pleasures in life. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in a very atypical way, throws up his hands. And he says to Hashem, how could I do this? This is too much for me. So when Moshe Rabbeinu says that, can I be like an omen, handose esatinok, when Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that love relationship, that fatherly love relationship to a little baby, is too much for me. Because Klal Yisrael is made up of Shishim Ribu. I cannot fill the role of a father and reach out and hug every single one of the children of Israel. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu rejected this role of an omen. It was too burdensome for him to play and accept the role as a nursing father. But be that as it may, I would like to suggest that we learn the Sam Derech. And this you'll see on the first page that I gave you. He quotes a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says, Kol ha'efshar lo levakesh rachmim al chaveru v'ena mevakesh nikra chote. Each and every one of us is obligated to be mispalo for our friends. It means tefillah is not just bein adam l'makom, tefillah is bein adam l'chavero. You can expect that I will daven for you. Amar Rava, im talmid chachamu, if you're praying for a scholar, tzorech sheyichla atzmo olav. Rashi says, you need to ask rachamim to the point in which you get sick over the fact that your friend is in such need. Why would a person who's called upon to pray for his fellow Jew get sick over it? And the answer is what we call, it's a beautiful word in English, empathy. It's not enough to have sympathy, you have to have empathy. Moshe Rabbeinu is calling tefillah masa. Why is it such a heavy weight? It's because Moshe can be described as he who is chole shemachla atzmo al chavero. Moshe Rabbeinu enters deep into the hearts and the feelings of every single Jew. He has the capacity to feel their pain, to empathetically suffer together with them. And therefore his tefillah, his prayer, is on such a profound level on behalf of Klal Yisrael because he shares in that very pain. We understand now why Moshe Rabbeinu calls it a masa. If a person feels the tzar, the agon, of every member of Israel, if he shares the weight of their suffering, that's a very heavy weight to carry with us. And now let's move on to the next Ramban, and we're getting closer to the case of setting up courts. But first, we want to talk about Tarchachem u'masachem v'rivchem. And please follow the Ramban inside. And the Ramban starts his presentation by quoting Rashi. Tarchachem lamit shayu tarchanim. Rashi quotes the Sifri. Haya echen mehem roe es baldino. A person who's in a litigation sees that his baldin is notzeach bedin. His counter, call it the adversary, is winning. He has the edge in the court. Omer, so you know what he says? Yesh li eitim lahavim. He says, all right, let's slow down here. I got witnesses. Yeah, it may take months until they show up in the court. Or yesh li raya lahavim. I have some sort of other proof to adduce. And so far, so good. Obviously, the dayanim have to give this person a certain leeway, a certain extension of time to bring his witnesses, to bring his evidence into court. But the Ramban focuses on the last few words of Rashi. What does the litigant claim? Mosifeni aleichem dayanim, which literally means I want to add judges to the case. For example, in a monetary dispute, the basic makeup of a court is three judges. Comes the litigant, the defendant, let's say, and he says, you know what, I want to bring other judges. I want to beef up this court. And that's what's called tarchanim. Tarchanim means those who are troublesome, and they make it very difficult for us. So the Ramban says the following. Vadina ze lo yadati oso. I'm not familiar with this law. Rashi is mechadish something. Does the litigant indeed have a right to demand that we add judges? All we need in monetary cases is three judges. And furthermore, says the Rabban Kolshkein, if li'achar sheyito bifneim, the litigant has already put forth his claims in front of the original three judges, the Rosh HaChaver Notzeach Bedin, now he sees that he's losing the case. So what does he say? She'ilu kibol of Karov Opasol Yachal Lachzerbo. It's true that if there weren't three valid judges, like this is the Mishnah at the beginning of the fourth parak of Sanhedrin called Zeb Borer, that each one of the litigants can choose even a relative or someone who is disqualified for judgment, then the halach is that yochel lachzerbo ad achar gemar din. Then the litigant has a right to retract, although he initially agreed, he conceded to accept these non-kosher judges, he can backtrack. Avol shloshek sheirim ladun. But if you have three people who are qualified as judges, they have all the documents, all the smicha, in such a case, any yochel lachzerbo. Who has the right to change his mind and add extra judges? So number one, says the Ramban against Rashi, he's already put forth his arguments. It's a little bit late to, you know, turn the clock back and start the judgment from the beginning. And number two, if there are three valid judges, what right does he have to add other judges to the case? Veshema, and Ramban throws out one possibility. Nilmad mikan, maybe this is teaching us a brand new halacha. Again, we don't know what the source of it is. Sheyachal adam lomar, a person has the right to say, Shnei dayanim ani borer li, tivarata shnayim acherim. I will choose two judges, you choose another two, and then these two pairs, the four judges, will be borer, they'll select a fifth judge. So now we have five judges on the court. V'yehei adin nigmar b'chamisha o b'yoser. And then the verdict will be handed down by a court that's made up of 5 judges. And it all depends again on how many judges were initially chosen by each Baal Din. Kimo Sha'amru, Eino Doma Din HaNigbar B'Chamisha L'Din HaNigbar B'Asara. In other words, you can improve the judgment and the case can be concluded by 10 judges. That's even greater than by 5 judges. The Ramban is quoting some sort of source. We don't know where it comes from. We'll see the Rambam in just a minute. But apparently the Ramban understands that the more judges that sit on the court and decide and hand down the verdict, the better. The multiplicity, the expansion of the number, what I call the quantity of judges, enhances the judgment. Then the Ramban says, the law is that if there are 3 valid judges, they can force the defendant, the nitba, to be judged before them. And the Ramban says, even if Eino Rotze L'Kabal Ofas Adin, he's unwilling to accept that judgment, nevertheless he can be compelled to do so. Avol Rotze, but if he's willing to be judged, in other words, he complies with, out of his own goodwill, then is Avol Rotze, but if he wants to, Livrar Yoser Bore, he has the right to say that I want to select and add other judges. So again, on the one hand, if there's a basic court made up of 3 Shoftim Ksherim, then the law is that these Dayonim could force him to come if he refused to come and be judged in front of them. But if on the other hand he willingly accepts their power to adjudicate the case, he has the right to select as many judges as he wants to. And why? What's the logic for it? The Havi Leki Omer, because there is a halacha which is explicit in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adaf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, and halacha says, Nelech Omer Nelech L'Makom Avad Shomim Lo. If one of the litigants says, I want to go to a higher court, that's called a Makom Avad. Makom Avad is where the experts are. It's a certain place of assembly. Then we listen to him, as long as it's a Makom Shein Torah. You know, it's not undue hardship to the other Baal Din, let's say to the Tovea. Then the Gemara establishes that he can demand that they go to a higher court. Says the Ramban, that's included under the mitzvah of Tzedek, Tzedek Tirdof. And therefore, Halach Achar Bez Din Yofa. The Gemara establishes in Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Beis, Halach Achar Bez Din Yofa, go to a better Bez, meaning each litigant to demand within his rights to go to a higher court, a better court. And therefore, Ribui HaChachamim, if he demands not to go to a different court, but to add judges to this court, is Bez Din Yofa, that's a greater, superior court to the court that originally was made up of only 3 judges. So basically, to summarize the Ramban, in trying to defend Rashi here, he says that indeed, a Baal Din has the right to demand that they add more judges to the case. And the reason for that is because the principle of Halach Acher Bezdin Yofet, that each litigant is within his rights to demand that they go to a higher court, a superior court. The Ramban identifies, this is the equation of the Ramban, Ribui Dayonim with Bezdin Yofet. Bezdin Yofet is not only judged by the level of Chachma, of the Chachamim, of the Dayonim that sit on the Bezdin, it also reflects itself in the number of judges that sit on the court. And here, on the bottom of your page, we have a quote from the Rambam. The Rambam is in Perek Beis Halacha Yud Gimel of Hilchos Sanhedrin. And the Rambam says, the last halach in Perek Beis, Achal Pisha Bezdin Shal Shlosha Bezdin Shalem Hu. 3 judges is all we need to form a Bezdin. Kolz Man Shem Rabim HaReza Meshubach. The more the merrier. 3 is enough, that's the basic requirement. But if we add other judges and make it a larger court, that's even better. Umutav Sheyechtoch Adin, that it's even better if the judgment would be handed down the Achadasar with 11 Yoser Me'asar. If you compare a court of 11 to the court of 10, the court of 11 is superior. Once again, like we saw in Rashi and the Ramban, we don't know the source for this halacha, but the halacha is that you can add dayanim and enhance the decision. Comes along the Kesef Mishnah, and he has a whole different take on this halacha, this Rambam. It's all based on a Gemara at the beginning of Sanhedrin, on Daf Zayin Amid Beis. Rav Huna, the Gemara says, Ki havi osi dina kamei, machnif umaisi asara rabonon, mi bei rav. He would go back and gather together 10 other chachamim to join him to be on his beis. Amar, and he would declare, Ki hechi dinamte shiva mikshura. Pirush, sheyagienu Nesores ktana min akora. In other words, if a beam is falling on top of your head, you'll be satisfied if only one splinter breaks off from that beam and hits you over the head. It's a lot lighter and a lot safer. Says the Kesef Mishnah, what does this mean? What was Rav Huna declaring, and why was he excited about bringing another 10 dayanim? Shem nite bidin, if we make a mistake in the judgment, yishtale sha'onesh bein kulanu, via Kelu Melhai. This way, I don't have to take personal responsibility or one third of the responsibility, but rather the responsibility filters out amongst the larger group of 10 or 11. So my participation in this verdict, if it was a mistaken verdict, is 1 over 11. That's a lot better than 1 over 3. And the punishment is going to be, he used the word mishalesh, is going to be spread out, it's going to be distributed amongst all, proportionally. Each person takes a fraction, which corresponds to what percentage of the beis that he makes up, of the onesh, of the onesh for toes bidin. So my friends, we see here a fundamental difference between the Rambam, the way the Kesef Mishnah sees it, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, and Ramban. The Ramban understands that the more judges you add to the case, the greater quality of the din, of the judgment and the verdict will be. The verdict is considered taken in front of a superior court, not only if that superior court represents Chachamim, who are of a greater wisdom and sages, and greater sage, but rather it's reflective of the quality of the decision. The quality, according to the Ramban, the superior court, the Beis Din Yofeh, is in one of two ways. Either you go to greater Chachamim, or you enhance the number, you expand the number of the Dayanim on the court. The Rambam, on the other hand, sees expanding the number of the Dayanim not as adding to the quality of the Beis Din. It's only quantitative, you've only got more judges there, and that's really done not for the ultimate din. It's not halacha in the cheftz of the din is enhanced. No, it's halacha in the dayan. The dayan feels more comfortable by lifting him of the weight of responsibility that falls on his shoulders if he makes a mistake, if he's one of three judges. So there are two fundamentally different approaches to this halacha of adding and beefing up the number of dayanim on the Beis Din. My take on this is that the Ramban thinks that by adding dayanim, you get a broader spectrum, even if they're all on the same level of chachma, but you get a variety of perspectives. You know, the law is in Sanhedrin that there's going to be a discussion between the dayanim, you know, going to throw it back and forth, the shakavatariyah to try to hash out the din. The more dayanim there are, the greater the chances that one of the dayanim is going to come up with a curveball, a whole new perspective, and therefore by adding the numbers to the din, to the court, you also embellish, you enhance the cheft of the din, the final judgment. And a doma according to Ramban, a judgment that comes from 10 as opposed to a judgment that comes from 11. How much more so if you're talking about 3 to 10? The Rambam, on the other hand, says, wait a minute, all these dayanim are on the same level. From a quality point of view, you've added nothing. You're just repeating the same Chachamim who know the same exact Tosfos in the Masechta Sanhedrin. They know the same Simonim in Shulchan Aruch Choshei Mishpat. You haven't added anything. The concept of Beis Din Yofer, to really upgrade the quality of the Beis Din, requires that you go to a whole different level of Chachamim. They have a greater smicha. They've studied Dayanut, you know, for a longer period of time. It's a special court. It's a higher superior court. And last but not least, we have another Rambam to add. This is on the second page that you have. That's the Rambam in Perek Vav, Mehilcha Sanhedrin, Halacha Tes. And the Rambam says, V'chein hadin bizman hazeh she'ein sham bezen ha'godol, amal yesh mekomo she'yesh bahem chachamim gdolim, mumchim l'rabim, mekomo she'yesh bahem talmidim she'em kemoso, im amara amalve. Keep in mind that the Malve is the defendant. Correct? No, I'm sorry. My mistake. The Malve is the plaintiff. Correct? Right? He's suing the Lova. So the Malve says to the Lova, Nelech levokim ploni sheba'arzo. It's not a great tircho. We're going to go to a certain place in your country, locally. And there, we'll be judged lifnei ploni agadol. We'll go to one of the greats. V'nidon lefana bedinze. Is kofenes ha'lova v'holechima. Once again, the Rambam is emphasizing that the rights of the litigant to force a change in the location and the makeup of the Beis Din is all for the sake of getting a greater dayan. It's a qualitative change. The Rambam doesn't buy in, apparently, to the quantitative addition of dayanim. That's not something that's within your rights. So if I were to come back to Rashi and ask myself whether the Rambam would buy into Rashi, that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, raises a finger of admonition against Klal Yisrael is because they're tarchanim, because when they see they're losing a case, they force the litigant to go to a different court, that would only make sense if they're going to a higher court according to the Rambam, but not as Rashi has it, that they're going to Mosifani Aleichem Dayonim. The Mosifani Aleichem Dayonim works for Rashi and the Ramban. It doesn't seem to make any sense according to the Ramban. That's number one. Are there any questions? You know, you could always send me a little chat. What I want to do is, because we're very pressed for time tonight, is move on to the Ramban. On the pasuk lo saguru v'pnei ish, you should not be afraid of anyone, says the Torah. It means the judges should not suffer some sort of inferiority complex about the nature of judgment. Ki hamishpat lelokim hu. Okay, now I'm going to read you the English translation of this pasuk. It says the following, just the last part of the post that's relevant to us. You shall not be intimidated by any man, for the judgment is God's. Now, the Ramban wants to understand, what does it mean, for the judgment is God's? Hamishpat lelokimu. What does that mean? Says the Ramban, v'tam, the meaning of ki hamishpat lelokimu, Kitam, it really means the same as what it says in a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim with regard to Yoshafat. It says over there, Ki lo li adam tishpatu, ki lashem v'imachem bidvar mishpat. So it means that we are judging for Hashem's sake. Then the Ramban says the following, Loma, the meaning of this pasuk is the following. God is burdened, he's concerned with justice amongst his created beings. It's for this reason that Hashem commanded us in honesty, integrity, justice, to do justice between them, to save a victim from a gazlan, from someone who's embezzling money from him. V'nasan eschem bimkoma. A fascinating phrase of the Ramban. The Ramban says, that God puts human beings, the judges, in His, with a capital H, place. We, the judges, are filling in for Hashem, because in truth, we're doing His bidding. How severe, therefore, will the sin be if you are intimidated as judges by people who come before you? Thereby you'll do injustice, and you have basically sinned against God Himself. You have violated His agent. You know, you are His agency. He's put upon you a mission, and you have not lived up to that mission. And I want to point out to you that the Ramban is very consistent all over the place. He insists that Mishpat, that when the judges sit in judgment, it's really God who is connected to this judgment. We, the Dayanim, the human beings, are really fulfilling His judgment. And I want to quote to you the Ramban in the Parsha of Eidim Zomimim. This is here in Dvarim Yutes Yutes. It's very easy to remember where it is. And I'll read to you a few lines in the Ramban. The Ramban says, in general, we don't understand why the Torah believes the second pair of Edom who say Manu Ayisem to the first pair of Edom. I mean, it's Trey, it's two witnesses against two. The Ramban comes up with some explanation for that. But then he asks the following question. Talocha is Kasher Zomam v'lo Kasher Osa, which means that if the Nidon was put to death based on the testimony of the first pair of Edom, there's no longer Hazama. The whole parasha of Hazama doesn't apply anymore. We cannot punish the first two Edom, and the second pair of Edom are not accepted. Says the Ramban, why? I mean, in a sense now, in this case of Hazama, the second pair of Edom are accusing the first pair of Edom of having murdered someone through their false testimony. So why do we assume that everything is okay? Says the Ramban, in Nerag Ruvain, if the accused was put to death, Nachshov, we should believe Shehoya Emes, that everything that the first pair of witnesses testified is truth. And there was a reason why that person, Ruvain, was put to death. It's all part of the divine plan. It's justice. Says the Ramban, the Ode, and furthermore, God would not have allowed God would not have allowed the judges, based on the testimony of the first pair of Edom, to spill innocent blood. Why? Ki ha-mishpat lelokimu. Sound familiar? Ki ha-mishpat lelokimu. He quotes the pasuk here in Parashas Dvarim, which means that judgment belongs to God. Ubekerev elokim yishpat. He adds a pasuk in Tehillim. David says that he, with a capital H, judges in the midst of the judges. Vehine calls them Maila Gadol v'Shofte Yisrael. This indicates the unique nature of the judges of Israel. V'avtocha Shekadosh Baruch Hu Maskim Al Yodom. There is a promise, a divine promise, that God will guarantee that He is with them in matters of judgment. V'zeatam, and therefore it says in the pasuk, V'amdu shnei anoshim asher lahem ariv lifnei Hashem. Says the Ramban, why are they standing lifnei Hashem? The answer is because they're standing in front of God who's here, He's present, and He's judging. Ki lifnei Hashem hem omdim bevom lifnei hashoftim. When they come in front of the judges, they really come in front of God. V'hu yanchem b'derech ha'emes. And God will lead the judges and guide them in the true path. So the Ramban is very consistent. Ki ha-mishpat lelokim hu is the overriding principle that applies to judgment. And if we're intimidated by the Bali Dinim, and there's a perverse judgment, then we are sinning against God. And if you'll take a look in the next page here, which should say Zion on the top left, you will see that the Ramban is consistent in Parshas Mishpatim. The Ramban raises the question, why does the Torah call Dayanim Elohim? Why the name Elohim for Dayanim? He says because God himself is present at the time that they judge. L'dayti, says the Ramban, Yomar HaKosuv V'igisho Adonav El Elohim Ad Elohim Yavod V'arshneim Lirmos Ki Helokim Yia Imahem V'dvar Mishpat V'hu Yatzdik V'hu Yashia. Ultimately, the judgment remains in the hands of God. We are just doing the action. We are doing the best we can to play the role and fulfill our mission of being the agents of God. The Chachamar Moshe Ki HaMishpat L'Elokimu. Again, a third time, the Ramban focuses on that pasuk. And he quotes the Divrei HaYomim that we saw before. And then he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Elokim Nitzav Adas Kel, which we recite every week. Ubekerev Elokim Yishpot. Klomar, says the Rabbi, what is David HaMelech saying in this pasuk? Bekerev Adas Elokim Yishpot. This is the assembly of God, and that's where, amidst that assembly, the judges are handing down a verdict. Ki Elokim hu ha-shofet. In truth, the judge in a Jewish court is Elokim himself. And then again he quotes the pasuk Yomdu Shnei Anosh V'Shalim Shnei Hashem. And then he says, and here we bold it, he says, "Vatam kilo atzik rasha." In the Shmos Rabbah, it says, "Ra'isi." The Ramban says, "I saw in Shmos Rabbah shebishosh adayin yoshev v'don b'ms." If he's dedicated to truth when he's judging, kaviyachol, meaning Hashem meiniach Hakadosh Baruch Hu shmei shamayim. God leaves the heavens. Umashre shchinaso b'tzido. The Shechina itself is hovering over the court, over the judges. Ki hekim Hashem lahem shoftim v'hoi Hashem im ha-shofet. There's a story here on the bottom of your page in the footnote about the Noda Yehuda, who was one of the great poskim 3 centuries ago. And he says that when he came to serve in the city of Prague, they wanted to test him. So the lumdim in the city came up with a scenario that they made up out of their minds and asked him to paskin, and he spent days and days, and he couldn't come to any conclusion. And finally he told him, you know what? This is not a case. You made this up. And when they asked him, how did you know we made it up? He said, because I didn't feel the Shechina, I didn't feel the Siat Nishmaya. When you judge an actual case, Hashem is there with you as a judge. Ki HaMishpat L'Elokimu. I didn't feel in this case the Shechina. It was a made-up case. And in footnote number 4 on the bottom of your page, he quotes the Ramban, who says in his Pirush in Bamidbar, in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tezayin, V'kiblu Rabboseinu, Ki Kol Sanhedrin Gedol Yishevus V'Beis Hashem, V'Mokma Sheyivchar, L'Shechdo Sham. He says the minyan, the number of judges that sit in the Beis Hashem, outside the Beis HaMikdash, L'shchich Shechdos Sham, where the Shechina resides, is 70. V'anasi al gabeim, that's 71. He says if you count the number of letters in the ineffable name of God, the holiest name of God, the Shem HaGadol HaMefurash, it's going to be 72. And the extra one is Keneged Asarim. Okay, this is all Al Pi Kabbalah. But in any event, the number 71 plus 1 is connected to the name of Hashem. Ki Ashchina imahem lehaskim al yoto. Because when they hand down a judgment, God is with them. And that expresses itself in the number of judges together with one sar, and that is 72, the number of letters in the ineffable name of God. So the Ramban even evokes Kabbalistic ideas to strengthen his thesis that God is there during the judgment. And in the paragraph that starts, V'amnam, the Rosh Hashiva, the author of Sam Derech, claims that if not for the fact that Hashem Nisav Adas Kel, if human beings were left to their own as far as judgment is concerned, he says it would be impossible for us to judge properly, because the Chukei HaTorah are so complex, they are so broad and so profound, it's not within Hasagas HaAdam, Loredes Li'omkam, V'lishpot Kefi Das HaTorah. The only reason we can do so is because we have the special Hashras HaShechina that kicks in and allows the Dayan to be Posek the Din, to be Machriya the Din. Okay. Now, on your page Ches, Moshe Rabbeinu makes a statement that there are different judges. There's one judge for 50 and one judge for 100, one judge for 1,000, right? The Sari Amea and Sari Alafim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hadavra Shayiksha Michem, the real difficult matters in disputes, Tikrimun Eli, you bring it to me. And Rashi points out here that Al Dover Zen is Talik Mimenu Mishpat Benos Tzlof. Rashi reflects one opinion in the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu was out of line when he said, you know what, bring me the tough cases, I'll judge them. That was a little bit too much for Moshe to make that statement. And therefore in Parshas Pinchas, with regard to the case of Benos Slavchad, Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the answer to that question. And the reason for that is this Alma Halacha Mimenu, the Kan Mifra, says Rashi back there in Parshas Pinchas, Shenatal Atara, that Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, took the Atara, he took the crown for himself. You know, I'm the crowning glory of judgment, there's no judge like me, I'll take all the difficult cases that stumped the lower courts. Lomar, Vadora Shayiksha Mikem Takrivanewa. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a certain piron, a certain peronios, that was a retribution for his going beyond humility. And the Pella here is that Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigm of humility. Ha'ish Moshe Anav Mi'od Mikol Adam Ashal Pnei Adama. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, despite his Anava, he says that, look, you can have difficult cases, take them to me. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who received the Torah directly. He's the teacher of Torah, he's the original source. Moshe Kibel Torah Mi'Sinai. Doesn't it make sense that he should be the one who has the capacity to deal with the most difficult cases? So for the sake of truth, Moshe Rabbeinu takes it upon himself to play this role. But nevertheless, somehow, because of Moshe's special level of anova, it wasn't exactly the way he should have formulated it. And this for a Baal Musar, if you're familiar with the Musar Derech that was initiated by Rabbi Yisrael Salant, all of Musar of Rabbi Yisrael is based on the subtleties of human feelings and human actions. We go down to even the subtle points in human behavior. Harelanu Efes Ktzei HaMusag Madregas HaRomus HaNedreshus V'yodom. The Torah demands even the most subtle perfection when it comes to midos, to attributes, to one's actions, to one's speech. We require absolute purity. The Torah has a very, very high standard. The Shleimut that we have to get to, that perfection, is very, very high. And certainly in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the un of Mikol Adam, making that statement, Adavra Koshi Avinu Elai, that was a little bit too much, and perhaps he overstepped his bounds. Now, for the sake of brevity, I'm skipping a little bit. I'm not reading everything inside, so, you know, please, that's why I gave you the Maram Makomos. I didn't mean to read the Maram Makomos with you, but rather to embellish them, study them on a higher level. The Chassam Sofer makes a point that it's very interesting, he says, that Moshe Rabbeinu uses the term Dover HaKosha. He says the more appropriate term, which is used elsewhere, would have been Dover HaGadol. Meaning, if you want to classify judgment and cases that come in front of the courts, you should do so with the following classification. There's something called the Dover HaKatan. For example, we call it small claims court. You know, you have a claim of up to $500, you go to a small claims court. And then there's a Dover HaGadol. You know, you want to sue someone for millions. That's not what Moshe's saying. Moshe's saying even a Dover HaKatan could be a Dover HaKasha. What does that mean? Says the Chassam Sofer, you could have a din pruta over one pruta, and yet it's a Dover HaKasha. Because the Jewish philosophy of judgment, says the Chassam Sofer, is that we don't weigh judgment by how much money is involved. We can describe and classify judgment by how difficult and how complex it is to hand down a verdict. Moshe is very careful by using the term Dover HaKasha. In any event, as we said before, not everyone agrees with this approach that Moshe was taken to task for saying Dover HaKasha Yavin Elai, because Moshe, in truth, is the source of all Torah knowledge, and it makes sense that he should really deal with the most difficult, the most complex of all cases. And now we're on the bottom of page Ches, and we're looking at something that goes beyond the question of judgment. But in Moshe Rabbeinu's presentation here, at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, in the second chapter, in Perek Beis, we look at Pasuk Dalet and we find something surprising. When Moshe Rabbeinu talks about passing the bounds of Seir, of the Bnei Esav, he calls them Achichem Bnei Esav, your brethren. The Ramban wants to understand what's this coming from? Says the Ramban, V'tam, why is it that the children of Esav are considered our brothers? And we don't find that with regard to any other non-Jewish sect. Says the Ramban, because the lineage of Klal Yisrael is from Avram Avinu, Sheyichus Yisrael and Avram, V'chol Zaro, all the offspring and the descendants of Avram, Achim, insofar as they all descend from the lineage, from the same forefather, we're all brothers. And this is going to be a little bit strange. The Ramban is getting us into a little bit of hot water, as we'll soon see. Says the Ramban, Ki kulam nimolim. The Ramban says that all the children of Avram were subject to circumcision, and the Sam Sofer, which part of which you'll see here on the bottom of your page Ches, but not all of it, finds a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Tes. The Gemara says the exact opposite. The Gemara says that the Bnei Esav are not bound by the mitzvah of Milah. Meaning, there are seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach, there's no eighth mitzvah. So how then can the Ramban say, Ki kulam nimolim? Again, if you take kulam nimolim to mean that they were all obligated in Milah, if that's what the Ramban is saying, then it's contradicted by an off in the Gemara, and there's no question about it. Maybe the Ramban means to say that Esav himself was circumcised, and that itself brings some sort of connection between the Bnei Esav and Klal Yisrael. But let's go on and read the last lines in the Ramban in this paragraph. The Ramban says, V'zeakam lo sesayev adomin. The Torah says, we'll see this later on in Perek Chaf Gimel, that you should not despise Edom. Why? Ki achichu, he's your brother. So we see again that Esav is called achichu. No, if that be the case, the Ramban has to face a very basic objection, and that is, what about other children and offspring of Avram Avinu? If we're brothers to Esav insofar as we come from Avram, what are we going to do with Bnei Pilatshim? What are we going to do with Yishmael? Yishmael is the son of Hagar, but his father is Avram Avinu. Umidjan, and Midjan is considered amongst the descendants of Keturah, which means the Pilegish of Avram Avinu. The Eino V'Achva, and yet we don't find brotherhood with regard to any of the descendants of Keturah or of Yishmael. So the Ramban's answer is Minakasu. This is based on a pasuk Ki BeYitzchak Yikare Lecha Zara, and Chazal say that BeYitzchak. This is Gemara Nidarim on Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says BeYitzchak V'lo B'Kol Yitzchak, to the exclusion of the descendants of Esav. And for that matter, what's going on over here is that from this pasuk BeYitzchak, we're really saying that Yaakov Avinu, as the son of Yitzchak, is considered the grandson of Avram Avinu, and the lineage here is limited to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. No, if that be the case, then as the Gemara points out in Nedarim, we're limited only to the Bnei Yaakov. Only the Bnei Yaakov are considered Zera Avram Avinu. When Hashem says to Avram, Ki BeYitzchak Yikar Lecha Zara, it's only part of Yitzchak, meaning that son of Yaakov. None of the other sons, neither of of Yitzchak or of of Avram or of Yitzchak are considered children or offspring of Avram Avinu. So then, to the same extent that the Ramban is going to exclude Yishmael, etc., under the law of Ki B'Yitzchak, we should be excluding Esav as well. There's no reason, there's no rhyme or reason to reject Yishmael and accept Esav. And the Rosh Hashiva here on Daf Tes has a very lumpish approach to this question. And he says that we can really analyze the pasuk back in Parshas Vayera. It says, "Vakimosi es brisi beiniu veincha," and then it says, "Lazarach achrech." So, in other words, the Torah is talking about bris, and that bris between Hakadosh Baruch and Avram extends to Zarach achrech. And he says the following: number one, there's a bris with Avram Avinu, beiniu veinecha. Number two, there's a bris in Banav with the children of Avram. That bris is called Ubein Zarecha. And then the next part of the pasuk says, Lidorosam Libris Olam. What is this Lidorosam Bris Olam? Says the Samderech, that when the pasuk says, B'Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara, which Chazal interpreted the Dorim to mean, B'Yitzchak V'lo B'Kol Yitzchak, that's coming to be mafkia from Lidorosam Bris Olam. So we have two different levels here, in addition to the personal, intimate bris between Avram himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have Banav, right? We have, Zarecha. And then we have Lidorosam. He says the following: here's the difference between Esav and Yishmael. Both Esav and Yishmael were subject to Mila. However, the Mila of Yishmael is radically different in its very essence than that of Esav. The Mila of Yishmael is because he's one of the Bnei Besal. If you remember, at the end of Parashas Lech Lash, Kadosh Baruch Hu commands Avram Avinu that his household should be circumcised. Yishmael is a member of his household, no worse than any of the Avadim that were there. But with regard to Esav, there's a different halacha. Esav is not midin yelid beso, but rather it's because of the bris beiniu vein zaracha. And therefore, once Esav is included in zaracha, he has at least one level of bris. He's excluded by virtue of the pasuk of b'yitzchak, below b'kol yitzchak, from lidorosam bris olam. But at least as far as the Mila of Esav personally is concerned, that Mila was a Mila of Beini, Beini Ubein Zaracha. Zaracha is a reference to both Yitzchak and Esav. To both Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav will both be part of that bris. The Maisa Mila has a Chal Shem bris to it. For example, let's say we make a bracha on a bris mila. So the bracha is Lachniso Bebriso Shal Avram Avinu. Esav's mila, we get exactly that bracha. Lachniso Bebriso Shal Avram Avinu. Yishmael would not. Yishmael would be not a bris, but Milas Yelid Beso. That's all. And he says, since Esav is included in the bris, not Lidorosam, but at least for that moment in time, therefore he's considered the Ach of Yaakov. And the Chiddush of the Ramban here is that Banav Heim Bnei Achiv. They are like nephews to Yaakov. And therefore, that justifies what the Pasuk says here, Achichem Bnei Esav. I see a question here. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that Esav was never Nimo. Okay? I don't know. The Ramban is not assuming that. I would have to reevaluate that. In any event, Rabbi Elazar, if there are any questions, if you want to turn on your mic, if you want to send me any text, now's a good time. Just to summarize, what we accomplished today is a great deal. Baruch Hashem, I'm very thrilled that we accomplished so much, so many different insights in the Ramban. and a grasp of what Mishpat is in Klal Yisrael, a grasp of what the makeup of a court is, a machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban regarding adding judges to the court and beefing up the number of judges, whether that's just to alleviate the responsibility from the judges in the Rambam's perspective, or to upgrade the level of the Beis Din in the Ramban's perspective, making it into a Beis Din Yofer. We also discussed Torchachem u'Masachem, the Ramban's understanding that Masa is the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we enhance that by saying that Moshe's tefillah is because he empathizes and embraces all of the Yechidim that make up Klal Yisrael. He's really praying with a heavy burden and heavy suffering on his shoulders. And then we discussed, of course, the case of Hashem being there for the Mishpat, and so forth and so on. Tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, I'd like to give a shiur. Again, there are various possibilities. I have to figure out who would prefer what. You know, there's always the, I call it the post-Shachris shiur, which would be at 8:15, or the lunch and learn at 12:15, or perhaps the Thursday night Mishmar shiur at 10:30 p.m., which I'm pretty sure is going to happen. I just have to figure out what topic. I hope you'll be able to join me. I want to thank Baruch and Daniel and Danny and Jeremy and a whole bunch. Thanks so much for joining me. And have a wonderful day. We should hear B'sarot Tovot. Yom Yirtzeh Hashem. Kim Yirtzeh.